Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 39 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Keneally Roberts.
And I'm Sarah Mead.
And it's one of our major fundraisers for the event we do in April called Family Fun Day.
The annual Child Abuse Prevention Dodgeball Tournament is set for next weekend.
A Brady Industries company is downsizing.
Governor Beshear is responding to criticism from a GOP lawmaker who campaigned for a local politician this week.
The reorganization of the State Board of Education stood in court.
The coronavirus case count in the Bluegrass remains at zero.
A Kentucky representative voted against an anti-lynching bill.
A new tax may close down local vape shops.
In sports, Moorhead State basketball teams will face off with Eastern Kentucky this weekend.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Snow showers tonight with a low around 19 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The second annual Child Abuse Prevention Dodgeball Tournament is set to take place in Moorhead next Saturday. Hosted by the Rowan County Child Abuse Prevention Committee, the event serves as a fundraiser for the group's Family Day event in April. E.J. Smith is the investigative supervisor for the Department of Community-Based Services in Rowan County. He says they're hoping the event will build off the success from last year.
I think it was like 17 teams. Everybody really enjoyed it. We kind of, obviously, when you start something new, you never know how it's going to turn out. But everybody seemed really enthusiastic. We did like a best dressed team award. So a lot of the teams got really hyped up about getting custom shirts made. And then you had, you know, the healthy trash talking between the schools that were there. And, you know, KSP had a team. And so it was a whole lot of fun. And we raised quite a bit of money.
The dodgeball tournament will take place at the Rowan County Middle School. The cost is $100 for a team of 8 to 10. More information can be found on the Rowan County Child Abuse Prevention Committee's Facebook page.
The future of bourbon may be promoted by a new partnership between James Beam and the University of Kentucky. Yesterday, UK's James B. Beam Institute hosted a series of panels about the industry, discussing every stage of bourbon distilling. Bourbon distillers hope the partnership will help cultivate a new workforce, new technology, and new advancements in the world of bourbon distillery. Fred Noe from Jim Beam tells WKYT, education has always been on the forefront of this partnership.
Because that's what it's all about, is education of our product and education of this industry, whether it's with us or with the future.
Noe went on to indicate that this partnership is not a celebration of accomplishments, but rather a way to look towards the future.
Viloxent, a subsidiary of Brady Industries, downsized last week. The Daily Independent reports Viloxent went from 36 employees to 28, laying off the vice president of manufacturing development and much of the operation team. Brady Industries announced in October the first 15 students in the Ashland Community and Technical College's Advanced Integration Technology program would have jobs starting at $65,000 a year following their May graduation. The company has since retracted that offer. Justin Turner is one of those students in the program. He spoke with WDRB-TV.
We all kind of had the vibe that we knew that it wasn't going to be happening at that point in time. And I think we all knew that it was going to happen. It was just more so we had to hear it from the person who does the hiring process.
Earlier this week, Brady announced its outlined plan for AIT program students, including mitigation of tuition costs.
A GOP senator who used a picture of the governor posing with drag queens at an LGBTQ rally to question Democratic Party values owes the people in the photo an apology. That's the response from Governor Andy Beshear. Republican lawmaker Philip Wheeler is under fire for comments he made at a campaign event for Representative-elect Richard White on Tuesday. Beshear told reporters the remarks were unacceptable.
They were absolutely homophobic. I don't think he is the fashion police for the Capitol. I believe he owes each and every one of them an apology. They are as much Kentuckians as anybody else.
Beshear stopped short of endorsing the Kentucky Democratic Party demand that Wheeler resign, but he said that representatives ought to represent every single person in their districts. Wheeler has said he has no problem with the LGBTQ community, but was instead expressing his discomfort with the clothing worn by the individuals in the photo.
A federal judge on Thursday refused to undo Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear's executive action that reorganized the state school board with a completely new lineup of members. U.S. District Judge Gregory Van Tatenhove denied a request for a preliminary injunction sought by several members of the former board in an effort to regain their seats. Beshear disbanded the former Kentucky Board of Education on his first day in office in December. He then recreated the board, fulfilling a campaign pledge. The judge said the governor's actions, quote, are not contrary to federal law. Meanwhile, lawmakers are considering a bill that would block similar reorganizations from occurring again. The measure would ensure political, gender, and racial diversity on the board.
As of Thursday, the coronavirus case count in Kentucky remained at zero, according to health officials, but the state is not yet tracking returned travelers from countries outside of China where the virus has spread. WUKY's Josh James has more.
So far, the State Department for Public Health has been paying attention to returned travelers from China, where the vast majority of cases still originate. Most of those monitored have already passed a 14-day window, and only one person showed symptoms and has since tested negative for the virus. In the meantime, Kentucky officials are working to set up a testing facility in the state. Currently, any samples from individuals suspected of infection would be sent to the Centers for Disease Control for testing, with an estimated wait time of 24 hours. Asked if the state has any preparations in place, such as quarantine locations, in the event healthcare facilities are overwhelmed, Governor Andy Beshear said,
I believe that what we are setting up on the preventative side is going to ensure that we don't have the type of widespread outbreak that would require those types of resources.
Despite mixed reviews of the federal government's response, the governor had no criticisms of the communication between his office, state health leaders, and the administration. Experts are strongly recommending residents wash their hands with soap and water frequently, get a flu shot, and stay home from work if any symptoms develop. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
A bill that would allow Kentucky's struggling emergency medical services statewide to benefit from enhanced federal Medicaid payments for ground ambulance runs has passed the Kentucky House. House Bill 8 would enable EMS services to assess a fee that would be used to enhance Medicaid payments for ambulance runs. The legislation is expected to result in thousands, if not millions, of additional dollars for Kentucky based on experiences in states like Tennessee, which sponsors say has similar legislation in place for about 4 years. HB 8 passed the House 91-0 and now goes to the Senate.
A proposed constitutional amendment that could give some felons a clearer path to regaining voting rights passed the Senate Thursday. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
The measure, known as Senate Bill 62, would grant the General Assembly the authority to establish standards for giving persons convicted of certain felonies the right to vote. It would exclude people convicted of treason, bribery in an election, a violent offense, a sex offense, or an offense against a child. Currently, Kentucky law bans felons from voting for life unless they get a special reprieve from the governor, even after they finish serving out their prison sentences, parole, or probation. Senator Jimmy Hidgens said Kentucky is one of only two states, along with Iowa, with a strictly enforced lifetime ban. Hidgens, who sponsored SB 62, said similar bills have been filed every regular session since 2008. 4 years ago, the Senate voted 36-0 to pass out a constitutional amendment similar to the current SB 62, but the 2016 measure didn't get a vote in the House of Representatives. SB 62 passed by a 29-7 vote. Should the amendment proposed by SB 62 be approved by a 3/5 majority in the House and ratified by a majority of voters in November, it would be up to the General Assembly to create a statutory framework for the restoration of voting rights. For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
One of the four congressmen to vote against a measure to designate lynching as a hate crime says he did so because the bill was unnecessary and unconstitutional. Kentucky Representative Thomas Massey said he voted against HB 35 because adding enhanced penalties for hate crimes, quote, tends to endanger other liberties such as freedom of speech. The bill, introduced by Representative Bobby Rush of Illinois, comes 120 years after Congress first considered an anti-lynching legislation. HB 35 is named for 14-year-old Emmett Emmett Till, who was lynched in Mississippi in 1955. President Donald Trump is expected to sign the bill, which the state unanimously passed last year.
Vape shops are bracing for a financial blow while a bill aimed at raising the current tax on vape products by 10% travels to the Senate. House Bill 32 would put vape products on the same path as tobacco products by raising taxes from 15% to 25%. The increase would include product already purchased by the vendor and being sold in stores. The bill passed the House by a 75-17 vote. Legislators believe this could bring in over $50 million during the next two fiscal years. Francis Faw is the owner of B Street Vapor in Mount Sterling. He tells WKYT, the bill is not just a blow to vape shops, but a blow to small businesses across the state.
I sat down and calculated when I heard about it. I'm going to have to pay $17,000 for the products that are already in my shop. I have six employees that work for me. They're going to all be finding jobs if this all goes through.
Fought and other vape shops have been working with leaders within the Kentucky Smoke-Free Association to share their concerns with lawmakers.
The U.S. Department of Justice is weighing in on a lawsuit filed by a Kentucky wedding photographer who is challenging a city ordinance. The ordinance in Louisville bans businesses from discriminating against gay customers. The Justice Department filed a statement of interest this week in federal court saying that the photographer, Chelsea Nelson, is likely to succeed on her claim. She sued Louisville city officials in November. In the suit, she argued that the city's ordinance violated the First Amendment. Nelson has said she only wants to photograph the weddings of heterosexual couples. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, where quality candy is their business. Online at ruthhuntcandy.com. Locally owned and operated, Ruth Hunt Candies is celebrating its 99th birthday with Kentucky Proud traditional candies and confections, including Woodford Reserve Bourbon Balls, Blue Mondays, and Laura's Hemp Chocolates. Ruth Hunt Candies in Mount Sterling, Lexington, and online anytime at ruthhuntcandy.com. A jury has found a Bourbon County man guilty of sexually abusing a 5-year-old. According to the Kentucky Commonwealth's Attorney 14th Judicial Circuit Facebook page, Brandon Woodall was found guilty on February 21st of two counts of sexual abuse. WKYT states that Woodall was arrested in December 2018. According to the warrant, Woodall had sexual contact with the victim several times between June 1st and September 22nd, 2018. The Commonwealth attorney is asking for the maximum sentence of 20 years. Woodall will be sentenced on May 5th.
A woman accused of child abuse appeared in Floyd Circuit Court Thursday for a bond hearing after she was arrested last week for reportedly abusing the children in her care. Jennifer Stacy and her husband Thomas were both scheduled to appear Thursday, but Thomas's bond hearing was rescheduled for next week because his lawyer was not available. According to WYMT, proceedings continued for Jennifer as Detective Tiffany Bond gave a rundown of the allegations. According to Bond, four children living in the home were given forensic interviews at Judy's Place for Kids, during which they told investigators that Jennifer hit them with hands and other items, including a back scratcher. They also say she, quote, even threw knives at them. The same allegations were included in the complaint about Thomas. The children also claim that Thomas sexually assaulted them, but they believe Jennifer was unaware of the sexual abuse in the home. Judge Johnny Ray Harris said his first priority is the safety of the children, saying he will not change the originally issued $100,000 full cash bond until he is sure that anyone who may be in harm's way is safe.
Taking a look at your region's extended forecast, Saturday, sunny with a high near 39. Saturday night, clear with a low around 24. Sunday, cloudy with a high near 55. Sunday night, a 40% chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 41. Monday, showers likely mainly before 4 p.m., cloudy with a high near 55. Monday night, rainy with a low around 52. Tuesday, rain with a high near 63.
Taking a look at some of the current temperatures in the WMKY listening area, it's 40 degrees in Lexington, Ashland, and Inez, 39 degrees in Winchester and Mount Sterling, and it's 39 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University. On our feature segment today, Morehead State University students and the local community will have an opportunity next week to attend the Spring Career and Internship Fair. WMKY's Cody Robinson has a story.
Every year, MSU gathers several businesses, organizations, and colleges together in one area to give students the chance to have new job opportunities made available to them. The event is known as the Career and Internship Fair and is one of the largest events at Morehead State. Megan Boone is the director of the Office of Career Services at MSU. She says the fair lets students connect with both employers and graduate schools.
We typically have close to 100 organizations present. They're looking to find employees, whether that's for part-time positions or full-time jobs. They're also looking for current students for internships or summer positions. So it's really, really a mix, and there's something for everyone at the event.
Organizations choose to come to campus to allow students to make more personal connections that may not be available otherwise.
I think it's really hard for someone to represent themselves on paper through a resume. And so getting that chance to look somebody in the eye, shake their hand, have a little bit of a conversation, there's no substitute for that. And I think that's one of the biggest advantages of attending the career fair.
Even though the event is aimed at undergraduate students, Megan says people who want to get the most out of the career fair need to come prepared and treat it as a professional event.
We would usually recommend to dress professionally. You know, you get that chance to make that in-person first impression. Have copies of your resume with you. Some of the organizations may ask for that. Spend a little time researching the organizations that are going to be there. Just know a little bit about them. I don't think you necessarily need to be an expert. And then I would also suggest being prepared to introduce yourself, to describe a little bit about your background and what you might be looking for in an internship or a job.
One of the unique things about MSU's Career and Internship Fair is the partnering with Communications and Marketing to offer free professional headshots. Megan says headshots are invaluable for progressing through and into a professional career.
There's so much value in having a professional online presence, maybe through a site like LinkedIn. So we started offering those several years ago, thinking that everyone's already dressed up coming to the career fair, so it's a great chance to get that free headshot.
Students should expect to see a mix of many different types of organizations and graduate schools, making the event appealing to people pursuing different types of degree programs.
We're expecting Campbellsville University, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, Stober Drives, which is an engineering firm, Kentucky State Police, locally St. Clair Healthcare is going to be there, as well as Pathways, some engineering firms like Henkel Contracting, Catalan. So really a big mix of organizations.
The Career and Internship Fair takes place Wednesday, March 4th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. inside the Adrian Dorn University Center Ballroom on the campus of Morehead State University. Attendance is free and the community is invited. For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
It's 448 and 39 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Keneally Roberts, here with Sarah Mead and Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this lovely Tuesday afternoon. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
The Morehead State University basketball teams will be in Richmond this weekend for their second matchup with EKU this season. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley. The matchups will also serve as the final game of the regular season for the Eagles. The women's team will be up first, and head coach Greg Todd says it will be a tough test with EKU continuing to perform well this season.
That team had some great wins non-conference, beat Xavier, beat Memphis State. They have not probably played as well as they would have liked to in conference play. They still have an outside chance if some things go just right, some other people win for them to get into the OVC tournament.
Tip-off for the MSU women's team tomorrow afternoon is set for 4:30. The Morehead State University men's basketball team is getting ready to wrap up regular season play.
The Eagles are on the road to face in-state rival Eastern Kentucky University for the second time this season. The Eagles fell in the two teams' previous matchup, but head coach Preston Spratlin says his guys can get it done this time around.
I felt like we really let one just kind of slip away. Of course, we were without Talon Cooper. He missed that entire week with a knee injury, but so we really missed his shooting that game. We didn't turn the ball over. You know, we only turned it over 9 times. However, you know, Eastern Kentucky went to a zone, and I think we missed our first 16 threes. And so we dominated the paint. We dominated the boards. Just could not find our shooting touch from outside.
Tip-off for the men's game tomorrow evening is set for 7 o'clock. Morehead State Baseball opens the home portion of its 2020 schedule today. The Eagles are on the diamond right now, hosting the Sayou Kids of Southern Illinois. MSU head coach Mick Aoki says the team is excited to be back at home after two road trips to start the season.
This is a team that, you know, I think they lost two games the entire year at home last year. And there's just something about being at home, you know, just the comfort level. Staying in your own bed, not having to, you know, dust off a 6 or 7 or 9 hour bus ride or whatever the case might be. So, we're really looking forward to opening up the season at home.
The Eagles are looking to make it 4 in a row after sweeping Norfolk State last weekend. MSU and Southern Illinois will hit the field again Saturday at 2 p.m. and Sunday at 1 p.m. The Morehead State University softball team is getting back on the field this weekend. The Eagles are heading to the Spartan Pirate Classic in Norfolk, Virginia. Head coach Samantha Jones says the two-day event is packed with competition.
So we play Howard twice, play Hampton, and play Norfolk once. All three of them great teams. They got a great pitching staff, so we've been working on our hitting approaches based upon who we're going to see in our opponents. Just been kind of reviewing the scouting report and seeing what we can do defensively and maybe, you know, on the bases to kind of cause some chaos and hopefully get a couple of wins out of this weekend.
The Eagles' first contest this weekend will be tomorrow at 10 a.m. against the Howard Bison. Coming off the program's winning this season, having claimed 16 total victories last year, Morehead State Beach Volleyball opened the 2020 season at the Principia College Beach Bash. The Eagles opened up the two-day event this morning, starting off with a win over Principia College, 5-0. Head coach Kristen Becker says luckily the team isn't having to deal with the less-than-ideal weather on the road.
Fortunately, we are indoors this weekend, so there's a facility in Fort Wayne that has 5 indoor beach courts. So even though it's snowing out right now, we get to know that we don't have to play in the snow. But it's a great event. We'll get a chance to play 4 different teams, a few we've never seen before, a few we have played last year. So we're excited to get out there and play some competition and play somebody other than ourselves.
The Eagles will face Bryan and Stratton College tomorrow at 12:30. They'll then face off with Park at 5 o'clock. A U.S. Court of Appeals has affirmed a lower court's decision to toss a college basketball referee's lawsuit against Kentucky Sports Radio Matt Jones and Drew Franklin over death threats. John Higgins sued KSR, saying he received death threats and that his company's Facebook page was slammed with negative reviews after he reffed a 2017 Elite Eight game in which the University of Kentucky men's basketball team lost to North Carolina. Higgins claimed that the KSR egged on the criticism. In an opinion filed Thursday, a 3-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit affirmed a decision handed down last March by Joseph M. Hood, senior U.S. judge for the Eastern District of Kentucky. Hood had rejected Higgins' claims with prejudice, meaning it cannot be brought again. Hood found that the criticism of Higgins on KSR was protected by the First Amendment. The dismissal of his case has been affirmed. And that's going to do it for sports today. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball hosts Belmont this weekend, and softball will host Dayton on Wednesday, March 11th. Also on March 11th, beach volleyball welcomes North Alabama. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks tumbled once again, capping off their worst week since the financial crisis of 2008, as worries over the coronavirus and its impact on the economy continue to rattle investor sentiment. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 357.28 at 25,409.36. The S&P 500 was down 24.54 at 2954.22. The NASDAQ Composite, interestingly, finished with a small gain on the day, up 0.89, which was obviously quite a surprise at 8567.37, as late strength in your big tech stocks like Amazon and Google helped the NASDAQ. It was definitely a day, though, where things started out very badly. At one point, the Dow was down more than 1,000 points. And late in the afternoon, the Federal Reserve did reiterate that they would be there to provide liquidity for the markets as needed. And, of course, many analysts now feel like there's a very good chance that the Federal Reserve will lower interest rates in the near future. And this pledge by the Fed late today certainly helped the markets out. And as mentioned, even though the Dow was down 357 points, it was well up from its earlier low. For the week, the Dow fell more than 12%, its biggest weekly percentage loss since 2008. And on a points basis, the Dow fell more than 3,500 points, and it also ended the week in correction territory, down 14% from its record high. The S&P 500 lost 11.5% for the week to date. Again, its worst weekly performance since 2008. The NASDAQ was down 10.5% on the week and is now nearly 13% below its record high hit earlier this year. In the commodities markets, oil feeling the pressure just like stocks, oil finishing with a loss of 4% at $45.19 a barrel. Gold was down 3.78% at $1,579 an ounce. And in Europe, stocks had a rough day, with the Stock 600 index down 3.5%. In the Far East, it wasn't any better, with the Nikkei down 3.67% and the Shanghai Composite down 3.7%. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank down 79 cents at $24.40, Dollar General down 7.48 at $150.18, UPS up 5 cents at $90.29, Marathon Petroleum down 56 cents at $47.37, and Anthem was down $1.12 to finish at $256.74. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250, Facebook and online at moorheadrecycling.org. Taking a look at some events coming up around your region, the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg presents Kentucky native and country music legend John Conley in concert at 7 p.m. on Friday, February 28th. Tickets are priced from $38 to $65.
The community is invited to Dr. Seuss Night at the Rowland County Public Library, 6 to 7:30 p.m. on Monday, March 2nd. Designed for children ages 12 and under, there will be games, prizes, and refreshments.
The Rowland County Caring and Sharing Alzheimer's Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Monday, March 2nd at the Rowland County Public Library. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or a related disorder are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education, support, and information about caregiving issues.
MSU's Office of Career Services will host a spring career fair from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Wednesday, March 4th, inside the Adrian Doran University Center at Moorhead State University. Meet employers, receive information on graduate schools, find jobs and internships. There is no cost to attend, and it's open to the community.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Leanne Akers, Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Gage Webb, Sarah Fashipe, Shamari Mosley, Chaz Jenkins, Cody Robinson, and Michael Green. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Haley Hansen, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Cody Robinson. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sarah Mead and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Keneally Roberts for WMKY News.